Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And today is the day that the Lord has made. And I pray and hope that you have rejoiced in some way, shape, or form, and you found gladness in this day. Some of us may have been in a valley today. Some of us may have been on a mountain high, rejoicing with all of our strength. But those that are in the valley, be encouraged, because this too shall pass. This is the day that God has made for you and for me, and we are encouraged to be glad in it. Find the joy that you need to see Jesus through and through as you come through the situation or the circumstance that you might be in right now. But I encourage you, Blog Talk Radio encourages you, Mission from the Heart encourages you, and of course you draw encouragement from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. Again, we are here super excited. We are about to start a new teaching series, that is called How Did I Become a Sinner? And, of course, I have a wonderful guest, a sister in Christ. Her name is Arlene Gill, but I know her as Ginger, and that's how I will be referring to her in this teaching series, Ginger. But I will give her an opportunity to introduce herself to you, as well as introducing this teaching series. How did I become a sinner? So, the question is, has the question actually ever crossed your mind? How did I become a sinner? Scripture helps us examine ourselves and take inventory of our life to see if there is any wicked way in us. According to Psalms 139, verse 24, the second part of that verse says this, and lead me in the way of everlasting. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, to lead us, guide us, to shape and mold us into the very character of God. God said it this way in Genesis 1, verse 27. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So, Sister Arlene Gill, also known as Ginger, to me and several others, will expose light on how did I become a sinner in this teaching series, as she walks through the pages of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. So I would like to allow my sister in Christ, our sister in Christ, Ginger, to just introduce herself and give us a little thumbnail sketch of how she became in relationship with Christ Jesus. So Ginger, if you would, allow the listeners to this broadcast to be delighted by who you are in Christ as we move right into this teaching series, How Did I Become a Sinner?
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Ginger. I appreciate Carnita encouraging me to share what's been on my heart. How I became a Christian, very quickly, I just had a desire for God. My grandmother used to pray with me and teach me Psalms, and it just developed a hunger in me to know God. And as I got older in life, he gave me that opportunity and introduced himself to me, and I just jumped in with both feet and everything. So I just thank God that he chose me. And His love continues to shine on me and through me, and I love His word. Recently, I had a missionary trip to India, and the teaching there that we had to minister to people concerning salvation was very vague, in my opinion, because we never really got deep into why they became sinners and why they need Christ. That's what basically enlightened us, myself and Ms. Carnita, Minister Carnita, to go on this lesson. Please indulge me, because I know a lot of us that are listening are saved, but many more may not be. And we all know the story of Adam and how we became sinners, but this is for the ones who may not understand why they are sinners or why other people call them that. So here we go. In the first series, the first point, there will be 3 points to this message. The first one is perfect fellowship. And that's the one we'll be focusing on tonight. And then we would proceed to the second point, which is broken fellowship, and then the third, redeeming fellowship. So I will start by reading from Genesis 1, 26a and 27a, and also verses 31. So it's Genesis 1, 26a, 27a, and verse 31. And here I go. Let us make man, this is God speaking. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Verse 27a. So God created man in his own image. And verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. After his accomplishments, in verses 4, 10, 12, 18, 21, and 25 in Genesis 1, God said it was good, but only after he made man did he say it was very good. So I just want to say that God, when he made us, he did not say we were good. In his eyes, we are very good. We are made in his image, and I believe, this leads me to believe that because he made man in his own image and breathed his life-giving breath into Adam, giving him a soul and a free will to make choices, God couldn't say anything else but very good. I think he should have used excellent because he put him or his own self in us, you know. And I mean, when you stop and think about how awesome that is, that he breathes his life-giving breath into us, it's like if you could picture it, a glass jar of water and full, and we being the glass cup, God poured himself into us. So it's like we become part of him. That's why every man, every one of us, have a place in our heart that it only could be filled by God, because he has made that room in us for him. So as I go forward on thinking of this, he was looking at himself. He was looking at himself and as another... He was looking at Adam and himself as another speaking spirit. He has made Adam another speaking spirit. He has given him a free will. He has given him a soul. He has given him thoughts and you know, just creative ability, basically just like God, because God speaks, so Adam speaks. So this is something that we could never, ever understand until we are acting and in the will of God and doing what he would like us to do. Kanita, can you add something to that?
Well, you know, Ginger, you're right in saying and trying to describe how when we are consumed or filled, I like that the way you said, you know, God poured himself into us or into Adam, since our focus is on Adam.
Yes.
He poured himself into Adam by the way and how he did that. He breathed the breath of life into Adam, into his nostrils. So with that being said, and the way you illustrated that, it was spot on in saying that he poured himself, God breathed himself into Adam, and and that became life. And of course,
yes.
We know God is the life giving. He gives life.
Yes.
That's what brought life into a created being out of the dust of the earth. So, that kind of makes it very, very, very solidifying to know that, okay, so God did breathe himself into man, and that's how man became alive in God, because we're focusing on perfect fellowship as being your first point. So yes, the perfect fellowship of God is when he breathed himself into Adam.
Amen.
So that,
and also, God, when we look at the scriptures, sometimes, you know, we are finite and God is infinite. So his word is not necessarily what we see it to be, because in his image doesn't mean that God is a man. He's spirit. It has no, he doesn't express himself or describe himself other than spirit. As Jesus said, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. So in him is perfection. In him is purity. In him it's just peace and tranquility and honesty. And these are the things that God poured in us, in Adam, when he made him. It's his spirit, because we have a spirit. We live in a body. We are spirit. We live in a body, and we have a soul. So we just, you know, it's not like God is walking around like man, like how we look. No, it's a spirit man that he breathed into Adam, making him a spirit with flesh clothing on, put it that way. So that's who we are. And it just amazes me that God took the time to make Adam, to mold him with his hands. You know, I think of it like when we create something as an artist, as a writer, as a painter, whatever. Even I would go as deep as to say giving birth to children. It's a love and it's a intimacy that comes from that, because this is something that you made. This is something that you took your time into creating. And when it's accomplished, you kind of stand back and admire it, don't you, Panita?
Amen.
At least I do.
Yeah.
Because I make jewelry on the side, and when I finish a piece of jewelry, I kind of admire it, because to me it's beautiful. So just imagine, you know, and I believe that that's what God saw when he finished Adam. He was beautiful. He was perfect. You know, and it gives me a warmth to know that from the foundation of the world, God did call us and formed us and made us to be in union with him. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, I'm going forward a little bit, and if you have a Bible with you, or maybe you might want to write down these scriptures for later study, it's Psalms 119. Kanita, would you look for that psalm for me?
Yes.
119 and 73. Psalms 119, verse 73.
Okay. Psalms 119, verse 73.
Yes.
It reads this way. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments.
Amen.
Those who fear you will see me and rejoice, for I have hope in your word.
Amen. Lord, is it verse 73?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make the point on how his hand has made us and fashioned us. And also, I would like to go to Psalms 138, verses 1 through 18. Psalms 138, verses 1 through 18. 139, right? Hold on. I'm sorry. Yes, 139. Excuse me, people. Yes, Psalms 139, verses 1 through 18. And it reads thus, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word on your tongue, on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I see from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I shall count them, they will be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Amen.
Amen.
That psalm speaks volumes to how God knows intimately. Before we were even formed, before we were even thought of, he knew us. When he was making Adam, he knew us. his desire for us was and still is, I believe still is, he developed a fellowship with Adam by making him so intimately connected to him. Adam is the only being that God communicates with. Not just to, but with. It's a conversation, backward and forward. Animals cannot speak. The nature cannot speak. Adam can speak. And God has given, he has made Adam basically a conversational piece with him. By him coming down in the garden and walking with Adam, you know, as we read in Genesis, he communed with him. And that brings me into my second part of my point, perfect fellowship, communion with God.
But Ginger, before we move into commune with God, the second point, I would like for us to read through Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6, kind of help those, just to kind of help the listeners understand that we are wonderfully made. God fashioned us so beautifully on the inside of our mother's womb. But let's look at, if you will, move to the New Testament, Ephesians 1, and let's begin in verse 3 in reading Ephesians 1, 3 through 6.
Amen.
So that's Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. So if you would follow along with us, and it reads this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly in Christ.
Even
as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love. Now let's just rest right there. Now as we think about this particular verse in verse 4 of Ephesians 1, it says, even as he chose us in him. And this is what Ginger had explained to us as we listened to her expose the scripture and how God breathed into Adam. And as the Psalms indicated, as we were fashioned in the womb, he chose us.
Amen.
Before the foundations of the world. So that tells me, and I hope that you can see, that God chose you as well as he chose us, and he chose us before he even created the foundations of the world. Now that goes deeper in my heart to know that he thought of me and he thought of you before he started creating the foundations of the world to be holy. And we know holy, for those of us who are in the body of Christ, we know holy to be set apart and separate.
Amen.
That we are holy and without blemish before him in love. And in my translation, him is capitalized, H-I-M. So without blemish before him in love. And verse 5, predestining us into sonship through Christ, through Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, these verses here, 3, 4, 5, and 6, can be a sermon on its own or a teaching track or teaching series on its own. But the depth of these particular verses, predestining us unto sonship or daughtership, if you will, through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of God's will. So verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace with which he graced us in the beloved. Now, there's a lot of meat and a lot of richness in these particular verses, but just understand the point that Ginger is trying to express to us as we see and the scriptures unveil the love that God had for us before the foundations of the world. So that just really saturates my soul to know that he thought of me, this little girl, that I didn't think much of myself. But for those of you who are listening to this broadcast, never think of yourself as so small, because in Christ, God sees you as beautiful, as
Amen.
Big as he sees us. He sees us as somebody.
Yes.
We are royalty in his eyes.
Amen.
And, you know, Ginger, that was very, very, very beautiful to unpack that particular psalm in the way that you did, with all of the compassion that you had. I could sense in your reading the verses in that particular psalm. But Ephesians just solidifies that in these particular verses. It just solidifies that. So
that I missed it. I'm thanking you for bringing it out, because it brings it together, you know. And I just thank the Lord that, you know, he has given us this platform, given you this platform to express the things that he has put in us, that others may come to know him because of that, you know, into a relationship with him, and to know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, regardless of where they are in their thinking and in their perception of themselves, that they are important. They are on God's heart. You know, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his son. But then that's for another teaching.
that is spot on. John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he did give us his son, Jesus.
Yes.
You know, that we would be able to live eternally with him.
Exactly.
That type of love, that kind of love, that agape love, unconditional, that's the kind of love that God has, actually.
That's the love that he had in his making and molding Adam. I mean, it's indescribable, the love that God has for us. You know, you can't put it in words. Sometimes you just have to thank him and praise him and just bask in his presence because of his love. I mean, that love And just like the scripture says that you just read there, that in love is how he did this, in his love. Ephesians 1 and which verse is it? Just as, verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. you know, because his love is what he gave to us by just creating us, you know, to be in fellowship with him, to be, oh, man, it's indescribable sometimes. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. God has made us to be in perfect fellowship with him forever and ever. Even from the foundation of the world, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Glory to God. How cool is that? Oh, praise God. Lord, we just thank you and praise you right now for being who you are in our lives, for allowing us to know you, allowing us the opportunity to get back into perfect fellowship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I lift up, Lord God, every listener tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, who have an ear to hear and a heart to receive the magnitude of you, Father God, and the reality of you, Father God, and to know that you love them regardless, that Christ died for them regardless of who they are and where they are and what they're doing, that you love them, that you want perfect, you want fellowship with them. You want to regain that fellowship. You want to show yourself to them in the love that you are. And the only way to get back to you is through your Son, Jesus. Carita, you have something to say?
Amen. I think this is a perfect spot to pray a prayer of salvation, because it would not be fair or right for us to assume that every listener to this broadcast is saved. So this is an opportunity for us to touch and agree as brothers and sisters in Christ. So those of you who may be listening to this broadcast, please be in agreement with Ginger and I as we pray a prayer of salvation for those who are listening across the World Wide Web to this broadcast. Because I tell you, fellowship, wanting and yearning for the fellowship of God and being in his perfect will, it does require us to be in intimacy with him. And that is, of course, through Christ Jesus. So we want to touch and agree, brothers and sisters, and that as we pray, you listen and lift up somebody that's in your family that may not be saved. Lift them up, and lift them up by name, or lift them up that employee that you know needs Christ Jesus. Pray for them, that God would see the seeds of your prayer be planted, and he would bring others across the path to do the watering. Amen. So we just want to pray right now a prayer of salvation. So I'm going to go ahead and do that, Ginger, and then I will allow you to continue to move in this beautiful teaching series, How Did I Become a Sinner? So if we would pray, let's just rest right here. Lord God, you listen as I pray the words, you saturate your heart and prepare your heart to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because we know he died for those who would willingly come to him and extend your hand as forgiveness, as a surrenderance to him. And you repeat the words, but prepare your heart that he would come into you and set up residence as he sits on the throne of life of your heart, that you will be safe. So just repeat after me. Lord God, I am a sinner. I need you every minute, every hour of the day. Lord God, as I lift up hands to you, I do not know what to do but call on your name. I need you right now in my life, Lord.
Yeah.
I surrender myself to you as you please come in to me. I
Hallelujah.
Have made a mess of my life, and I know that you can set me on the path of righteousness.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I confess my sin to you because
Jesus.
I know and I believe by faith you died on that cross for me.
Glory to God.
So, Lord, as I come as humbly as I know how, asking
Jesus.
That you would save me.
Yes.
And as I surrender myself to you, please
Hallelujah.
Allow your Holy Spirit to
set
of my heart, Lord God.
Yes,
as
Lord.
I continue to seek you in the newness of life,
Jesus.
Lord, here I am. Please save me. Now, if
Jesus.
You, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you
amen.
Have said those tender little words, that with your heart being whole and not half-hearted, but wholeheartedly express those words, God sees the heart of a man, not woman or man walking on this earth, but God sees the heart, and he
Amen.
Knows you and me. So I welcome you into the household of faith. Praise the Lord that you have come into the ark of salvation. Now I encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church, a church that will teach you the ways of the Lord, that you would be baptized by submersion. And when you get up, that you would run and tell somebody, I am now a Christ follower, that you would be in a Sunday school class or a discipleship small group class, that you would grow and go in grace. And this is what we encourage you to do. I tell you, the angels are rejoicing that you have given your life to Christ. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. So we thank you for receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So now we're going to just continue to move forward in this beautiful lesson. How did I become a sinner?
Amen.
So, Ginger, you can continue in moving through the pages of life.
Yes, ma'am. I'm coming to the communion with God. Communion with God, part 1B in the series, in the point, perfect fellowship. And I'm going to read Genesis 2:19 through 20a. Genesis 2:19 through 20a. And here I go. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. That is communion. That's part of the communion that God had with Adam, where he gave him that authority. He gave him that freedom to name the animals that he has made. Without question. He didn't correct him. He didn't say, no, that don't look like a zebra. That looked like something else. He allowed him to name them, and that's the name that they are up until this day. So his fellowship with God was such that God trusted him. And it has scripture also where God told him to have dominion, gave him dominion over the works of his hand. So he exalted Adam in a way that he did not do with all the other creatures and plant life or even the heavens over his work on the earth. Adam had such a relationship with God that God trusted him to name the animals he had made without question. It's like, you know, like when you write a book or you do something and you give someone else who inspired you the credit. That's what God did concerning Adam. That's what I believe. He created all of these things, and he gave Adam the okay to go ahead and put his signature on it. That's how important Adam was, man was, man is to God. And that's the perfect fellowship. When the Bible says that God came down into the garden in the cool of the day, that's Genesis 3 and 8. Genesis 3 and 8. And God called to Adam. That suggests to me this was a regular thing he did with Adam. Now, we can't say how God appeared, how his appearance was. Was it a spirit or just his voice? We will never know until we see him in heaven. And I doubt that we would even ask that question, because we would be so amazed of being there with him in his presence that we wouldn't even think about Adam asking, were you a spirit with Adam or were you a human being? But that's me. I'm a little kooky sometimes. Anyway, but that's the fellowship that Adam had. That's the intimacy that Adam had with God, Creator God. He was in such an awesome fellowship. It wasn't anything. Just like the point is, the first point that I'm making, that it was a perfect fellowship. Perfect. No what if. It was perfect. They had perfect fellowship. Nothing tainted it. It was sweet communion between the two of them. And that, as I said, that is what God desires for us now. And that's why Jesus came. So, Kanita, do you have anything to add to that?
You know, that you raised some really good points in looking at Adam being in communion with God, and how you indicated he had dominion over the things that were in the garden. And I want to back up to chapter 2 in Genesis and back up to verses 15 through 17. And I want to read this in the New Living Translation and listen to what it says. Now, this is Genesis 2, verses 15 through 17, and I'm reading it in the New Living Translation. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and care for it. But the Lord God gave him this warning. So before I read on to continue to read the remaining verses 16, I like what it says here in verse 15 that popped out. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden and to tend and care for it. That's responsibility. He gives us a responsibility while we are in fellowship with him. Adam had responsibility that God gave him while he was in fellowship or communion with God. And then it says, but the Lord God gave him this warning. Now, the warning is you may freely eat any fruit in the garden except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of its fruit, you will surely die. Now, isn't that like a beautiful, isn't that just like a daddy? A father who says, okay, son, You have the keys to my car, and you have the responsibility of taking care of it while you're driving it. But these are your limitations. These are your limitations with Dad's car. Just keeping it real, making it easy to understand as we learn through these scriptures. And I hope that you see these little nuggets pop out as you read these particular verses. But Dad gives us the key to the car, and we have the freedom to drive his car. But before he hands us the keys, he says, these are your warnings from me. Do not do this. Do not do that. And so now we have responsibility with the car, but we have some limitations also. Now, how does this relate to us? This means that if I'm a believer in Christ Jesus and I've accepted Christ today as my Lord and Savior, I am in the family of faith. So does that mean I have free rein to do with whatever I so choose to do? Because he gave me a free will to choose. But does that mean I can run amok all over the place with my life? No, that does not mean that. He gave him responsibility, but responsibility with some limitations. God, our Father, gave us the keys to the car, but we had some limitations. So it's the same with salvation. We have freedom because we are alive in Christ. Yes, but there are some limitations, and that comes with being sinful in our salvation, willingly wanting to sin. So as we look at the responsibility of Adam in the garden, in those particular verses, it shows that, I like the way it showed us that he had a warning in this particular scripture, or God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge and good of good and evil. For when you do, then this is what's going to happen. You suffer some consequences. But that's the same with us today. Son, daughter, if you misuse the car and you ignore with what I told you not to do, then you suffer the consequences of the error of your way or of your choices. So I just thought that was nice in how you brought that out in the word using dominion, which is scriptural, that he did have the responsibility of naming the animals in the garden, and he also had a limitation also. And that brings about obedience to God along with fellowship with God, communing with him, and it showed obedience to God while he was in the garden. So, amen to that.
And when you were speaking, what came to me also by the Lord speaking to Adam, telling him, not giving him commandments, not to eat, and giving him the reason why. That's what he does through his word, period. We have a choice to either do his word and not just hear it, but to do it. And in doing the word, the blessings come. To as simple as to forgive, you know, the Lord says to forgive, just like he has forgiven us. And we choose not to forgive. If we choose not to forgive, consequences comes with that. You know, so it's the choices, the free will God gave us, which is something that to me speaks volumes of the love, because you cannot expect someone to willingly obey you, to willingly love you, if you just keep, you can't, and you make them in a way that they don't have a mind to think. It's like a parent stifling a child when they try to speak and they keep saying, shut up, because you're making noise. Shut up, shut up, shut up. That child is trying to express itself, and you are basically controlling that child where they become like a puppet. And God didn't make us to be puppet. He gave us a choice, and he gave Adam, and this was the first time in the Word of God where we see that because of him giving us that free will, he gave us also the ability to choose. Because he didn't have to put the tree in the garden. We could just be little robots just living in La La Land. But he gave Adam a choice to choose him and his word. And I really appreciate our Father God for doing that, because it makes us, when we choose him, it fills his heart, because we're choosing him because we want to, because we love him, not because we have to. If you could understand what I'm saying, in that instance, you know, he loves us first, regardless. God loves us first. But when we surrender ourselves to him and his word and choose him, choose to love him, man, his heart is full. His heart is full. So, Tanita.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Do you have any?
Yes.
May I give a quick testimony?
Go right ahead.
Okay. This is about salvation. I remember when I got saved and the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in my heart. And literally, I felt the love of Christ. I mean, it was like overwhelming. I was so full of that love that I couldn't understand how people could not feel what I'm feeling. And they're in church. It's like, don't you feel it? My eyes were bright. It was at night that this happened. And when I went outside, it's like it was daytime, because I was just so new and full of this love. And that's my experience of God's love for me, God's love for all of us, for that one who's listening. That love, it was just like opening up a floodgate in my heart, and he just poured his love in. And he wants that for all of us. He wants that for the one who's, you know, feeling depressed right now, or the one who's going through some family issues, or the one who has a husband who's not being faithful, or a wife who's not being faithful, and their heart is broken. God wants to fill that void. And he is tangible. He is real. Once you allow him in, he just, oh, my gosh, that he just fills it. He just fills it. And I just pray right now that someone out there would allow him to come into their hearts in spirit and in truth and experience that love that he has for you. It's nothing like it. It's nothing like it. And that fellowship begins there, where you just fall in love with his word, and it's like just food, just bread to you. So I just pray for someone out there today, tonight, that may need to feel that love of Christ that he just reveal himself to you in a mighty way, that you will have a Jesus experience, that you will be changed from the inside out, and the joy of the Lord will be so present in your life because of that love, that you would not help, you cannot help yourself, but to share him with others. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. That was wonderful to express your heart and your passion for many to come to know him in the pardoning of their sin. And Paul said it very wonderful in Scripture. He said, all I want to do is to know him.
Yeah.
And to know Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is to pursue him, and thirst and hunger after him. And this is what we are to do. But I just want to read this particular verse in John. If you would move with us to John 14. And I want to read John 14, verse 6, for the benefit of the point. Verse 6 reads this way. So if you would, follow along with me. And I'm going to read this in the NIV translation. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is Jesus comforting the disciples, you know, Jesus letting the disciples know that he is the way. And
yes.
Sometimes, just as Ginger indicated, that even in your circumstance, even in your, I'm not sure how this is going to work, well, I just don't feel right, I just can't see any good coming out of this, Jesus is bringing comfort to the disciples during a time when they were a little unsure. But Jesus said in verse 6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So
amen.
He is our hope. He is our faith. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the word. And he
amen.
Is our eternal life.
Amen.
Now that we've read verse 6, let's just back up to verse 1. And it says,
Let
not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And that's capital M-E.
Mm-hmm.
In the Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So now that's encouraging. Even in our valley lows, that's even encouraging. I go to a place. I go to prepare a place for you. So he's speaking to you, brothers and sisters in Christ. He's speaking to those who now accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He says to the disciples, but also to you and I go. Now, we're talking about perfect fellowship here. And it says, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that when I am there, you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. And then it says, in verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going and how you And how can we know the way? And Jesus put it so beautifully. He says in verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And for your own private study in this particular passage, I encourage you to read verses 9 through 21 in this same text, John chapter 14, if you would continue to read on, starting at verse 9 through 21. And it just solidifies the fellowship that we have in Christ, through Christ, with God. And how through communing with him, because of our salvation, we have a tree. We have a right to the tree of life. And we know in the garden that that tree of life was there for Adam's enjoyment. And we know that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was there too. But God said, you can have anything in this garden but this one particular tree. And we will look at that point on next broadcast when we continue to move through the pages and expose this particular teaching track. How did I become a sinner? And I just thought John 14 was spot on in explaining to us, showing us how we are to be in fellowship and remain in fellowship with God through Christ Jesus. And this is what we wanted to bring out, Ginger and I wanted to bring out in this teaching series, point one, perfect fellowship, and expressing how we are in fellowship with God through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So, Ginger, I'm going to turn it back over to you if you had any closing remarks on this particular point, perfect fellowship.
I just thank God for giving us life. I thank God for this hour that we spent chewing on his word and finding out and re-examining or Genesis in the beginning and what God had made us to be ultimately, and that's in fellowship with him. And basically, I'm just looking forward to the next lesson, and I pray that the ears that hear these and the hearts that receive, that, you know, from this throughout this week until next Thursday, that God will show himself strong on the behalf of your lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. So always remember, brothers and sisters, always remember that the grass withers and the flowers, oh yeah, we see them fading away every season. But always know deep down in the recesses of your heart that the word of God remains forever and ever. So
amen.
I encourage you to continue to seek God's faith through the word of God, and we encourage you to be back listening to the broadcast on next week as we move to point two, which is broken fellowship. And oh, what a joy it will be. So thank you again for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio, and God bless.
Amen.